boys and girls. Welcome to the Children's Bible Club Kids Clubhouse. I'm Aunt Carolyn, here with a story about... Well, you've heard a lot lately about spies, haven't you? The trouble they cause and the trouble they get into if they get caught. Well, somebody in today's story got into spy trouble, so you be listening to find out about the jam they got into. But now, join the choir to open our club meeting today.
Thank you, choir. Have you ever visited a museum? Don't you like to see the many items from history that have become very valuable with age? If anyone goes through an old attic or house and they find a very old letter or document written by a famous person, such as a former president or inventor or army hero, that letter or document is very valuable. They have a real find and may auction it off for thousands of dollars. Remember last time, Bible clubbers, when we talked about a document of the commandments of God? And who wrote out those commandments? Yes, God himself, personally, in his own handwriting, with his own finger, wrote those precious words on a table, like a slate of stone. No handwriting of any man could compare it with that. No document or signature of any man could be in any way nearly as valuable as God's word written by his own hand. Yet the children of Israel turned away from it and didn't treasure it. And we can't be too hard on the Israelites when we consider how folks today are turning against God's commandments and not honoring his word. Isn't that sad, when they were so important to God that he would write them out with his own finger? And then he even wrote them out a second time after Moses crashed the first copy. Do you not think that the commandments and all of God's word is important to him when he would go to all that care to give them to us? Oh, may you and I as Bible clubbers read and study and take God's word to heart. Let's be serious about learning and obeying it. King David, the man God made king in Israel, said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And, "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments." Can you look up the first commandment and memorize it this week? Find it in Exodus chapter 20. Verse 3. You can do it. Now, here's the choir before story time.
Trusting in my Father's heart of desire.
Joseph's life was like a roller coaster ride, lurching up and down, wondering what twist would come next. From favored son to abused brother, down to slave, up to overseer, down to prisoner, up high to prime minister. What a life! But Joseph stayed steady, doing his best for God and those who were in authority over him. Pharaoh's dreams came true. Years of good harvest came, and Joseph stored all he could for the coming bad years. And those very bad years did come. Famine hit hard, and people cried to Pharaoh for food. "Don't come to me. Go to Joseph and do as he says." Well, good for Pharaoh. He couldn't help the people, but he sent them to the one who could. You know, that's our job, too. We can't help sinners, but we know who can. We can tell them of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for them and can give them eternal life. So, all the Egyptians came to Joseph for food, and then people in other countries came, too. In fact, one day, Joseph saw some familiar faces in the crowd. It couldn't be, but it was. He knew it was his brothers. 1, 2, yes, his 10 older brothers. The famine was desperate in Canaan, too, and their father Jacob had insisted they go to Egypt to get food for their families. Joseph recognized his brothers, but now, being older and dressed as an Egyptian ruler and supervising grain distribution from a high, elevated platform, his brothers surely didn't recognize him. They humbled themselves and bowed low to this mighty governor. Joseph remembered these men, their hard, cruel hearts, their hatred and mockery. He would test them to see if they had changed or if they were still as wicked as before. He spoke roughly. "Where are you men from?" "We're from Canaan. We've come to buy food." "Oh, no, you're not. You're all a bunch of spies." "Oh, no, no," they cried. "We're not spies." No one had ID cards back then, so the men tried to convince him. We're brothers, sons of one man. That's the truth. We're not spies." "Oh, yes, you are. You've just come down here to see how bad off our land is in this famine." So they insisted, "No, we're all sons of one man. There were 12 of us. The youngest is at home with our father, and the other is not." Little did they know that the one they thought was not was standing right before them. At last Joseph railed again. "I say you're spies, but I'll give you a chance to prove it if you're not. One of you go and bring your younger brother. I'll keep the rest of you in prison until they come. If you can't do that, I'll know you're spies." And he had them all thrown in prison. What an awful shock! 3 days they sat in that prison. They had plenty of time to think. And after 3 days, Joseph sent for them. "I fear God," he said. "I'll let you prove if you're true or not. I'll hold just one of you in prison here. The others can take food for your families and go home. Then return and bring your youngest brother with you. That's it, if you want to live." The men were stunned. In horror, they spoke to each other. "All this trouble is because of our sin and cruelty to Joseph. We are guilty, and God is requiring his blood at our hands." They didn't know that Joseph could understand them. He was so moved by what they said that he turned away from them and wept. But when he returned, he singled out Simeon, had him bound, and held him hostage while the others left for home. They had corn, but they were distraught and afraid. They were hopeless. Jacob would never allow Benjamin to go back with him. He had already lost one son. Yet, if he didn't go, they could never get more food, and Simeon would die. How could they face their father? Oh, how their sin had come back to haunt them. That sin they had committed so many years before, that sin that they had hid from their father, that sin they thought was forgotten, now bore down on them. Yes, boys and girls, the Bible says, "Be sure your sins will find you out." And be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Their sin caused terror and slavery, prison and suffering to Joseph. Now they were tasting a little of their own medicine. Oh, boys and girls, God knows your sin no matter what or how long ago it was, and sin has to be paid for, either by the sinner in eternal hell, or by that sinner accepting the Lord Jesus Christ's payment for sin by his death on the cross. Don't fool yourself. You can't get away with sin. God knows. Repent. Humble yourself. Receive Christ as your only Savior, and have his peace and eternal life. Take him by faith right now. And now, God bless you until this time next week.
You have been listening to the Children's Bible Club, a ministry of Grace Bible Church and Santa Rosa Christian School in Milton, Florida. If the stories and songs have been a blessing to you, why not write and let Aunt Carolyn know? When you write, be sure to mention the call letters of this good radio station. Send your letter to Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. When you write, ask for a free brochure of all the Aunt Carolyn stories, as well as other good Christian books and materials for children and adults. That address again is Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. You may also visit our website, childrensbibleclub.com. Keep listening and tell a friend about the broadcast so they can listen too. Now, I'm Adam Watt saying God bless you until next week at the same time.